We're in the book of Mark, the 16th chapter, and this will be our text verse this morning. So then the Lord had spoken unto them. So after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. Let us go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we're just so thankful for all that you have done for us, and so thankful for Jesus, and thankful for his ministry and his willing to come and to die for us, Lord, and to shed his blood so we could have remission of sins. Lord, I just ask that as we consider your word this morning and consider the work of Jesus, Lord, that we'll have a better understanding of what you're willing to do for us, Lord, and how that we can boldly come before you with our petitions and with our concerns and with our prayers. Again, thank you for all you've done for us through Jesus. Ask all these things in his name. Amen. Title of my message this morning is Jesus in Heaven. And we're going to specifically talk about Jesus in Heaven by his present work. I really think that we probably don't talk about this enough. We talk about the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. We talk about the Gospels. We talk about what Jesus said, you know, and today we have modern printing and we have the words of Jesus in red, and we kind of know what he spoke and we really focus on that. We talk about his crucifixion and we talk about his resurrection, and we don't really talk a lot about the other things that happened, how he taught his church, what he wanted us to do during those time before his ascension and then the ascension. And we don't talk a lot about Jesus in heaven and what that means and what he is doing on our behalf. And so this morning, again, continuing the idea of Easter, and after Easter, we had the Jesus in the upper room, and we talked about in the garden and on the cross, and then we talked about the resurrection. And then last week we talked about what Jesus taught before the ascension. And this morning we're going to talk about the ascension, but really we're going to talk about Jesus in heaven and what he is doing in heaven on our behalf. So after Easter today, Jesus, after the resurrection, Jesus is in heaven working on our behalf. What's interesting is Jesus had prophesied that the ascension was going to happen. He prophesied the crucifixion was going to happen, the resurrection was going to happen, that he'd meet the disciples in Galilee. And I mean, he warned them, but they just struggled with all this stuff. And he says, you know, he asked Peter, well, he asked the apostles, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, they say you're Elijah, or they say you're John the Baptist." And he says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter spoke up and said, "You are the Son of God." So they understood this concept, and they accepted the fact that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, the one that God said he was going to send. And Jesus is trying to get them to understand, yes, I have come from the Father, but this isn't a permanent state that I am in right now, that I am going to have to go back to my Father. And he prophesied the ascension. He prophesied that he would be back in heaven. He says, "I come forth from the Father, and I am come into the world in the flesh." Son of God in the flesh. Totally God, totally human, yet somehow God combined those two things. Again, Jesus says, "I leave the world. I am going back to the Father." In John 14, Jesus says, you know, "Let not your heart be troubled. You know, I'm going away. I'm going to prepare a place," right? But they struggled with all these warnings and things that Jesus tried to share with them. So I want to start with the ascension this morning. It's kind of interesting. There's actually two views of the ascension. So Jesus is on earth physically, right? And so one view is that when he had spoken these things while they beheld, so the disciples view the ascension from the bottom up, if you will, right? So they see him on the earth. It literally says he goes up into the cloud, taken away. He is taken up. A cloud received him out of sight. Now, I would like, there's things described I'd like to see in the Bible. Brother David was talking about some of those things this morning, and this is one of those. I think he went through a cloud, and once the cloud cover was there, they could no longer see him. So that is their view, right? So their view is Jesus is with them after he had just finished a sentence, right? Go to Jerusalem, wait, you're going to be empowered, right? That's what he is telling them. And then it's not like he's gone, like in the upper room, he just is there. They literally see him ascending. So that's their view. How do you think that made the disciples feel? Scared. Yeah. Jesus said, right? We saw the verse, I'm going back to my Father. But they struggled with all that. He said, I'm going to send you the Comforter. This is better that I go away and the Comforter comes. But yet, they struggled with that. Now, what's fascinating is what is heaven's view, right? As the disciples see the bottom of Jesus' feet, right, going up, heaven sees Jesus ascending up into heaven. It says, so then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, this is in Mark, he says, he is received up into heaven and set upon the right hand of God. Now, that word received is really fascinating because it literally means to welcome. And so it doesn't just say that he went to heaven, right? I mean, I go to the store all the time, and nobody greets me unless I go to Walmart, right? And then they don't even always greet me there, right? Now, Walmart no longer greets you as you go in. They greet you when you come out, right? Let's see your receipt. I don't know, but that's here or there. But it's kind of interesting that this word literally means to welcome. Now, it's kind of fascinating when we receive visitors at your house. I don't know how it works at your house, but if we have company, especially company that's kind of special, my brother is going to, I'm not saying my brother's special. Well, maybe he is special. I don't know. But whatever, my brother is going to be coming this week. And so we have been cleaning. Now, I come in and out of my house all the time, and nobody cleans for me. So am I not important? Well, you see, so there's a welcome, a thing that you do when someone is being honored, when someone is being welcomed, when someone is being received. And I believe that Jesus didn't just go to heaven, but this word means that he was received into heaven. And could you imagine what that might have been like? That this is the victory over sin. Now, sin has affected heaven also. Remember, a third of the angels, Satan, this challenge to God by Satan, and that he wanted to be God, and God kicked Satan out, and then we have the demons, and I think we have some of the issues with the earth because Satan was kicked out of heaven. And so it's kind of an interesting thing that heaven understood what disobedience and rebellion against God meant. And here they also understood that Jesus, because if you go in Psalms, the second chapter, there's this long discussion. Did I say Psalms, the second chapter? There's this long discussion between God and Jesus about what Jesus is going to do when he comes, and he says, you're my beloved son, and you go tell people. There's this great big discussion about going on in heaven about the plan, so heaven knows about that plan, and when it is accomplished, here's the thing. 1 Corinthians says that Jesus and what he did on the cross and the resurrection and then the ascension is victory over death and victory over sin. Now, I don't know about you. I kind of like sports. I like it when my team wins. I have been known when something happens and my team does something to yell, to jump up. And other people in the room is not paying attention or like, what is going on, right? And there's this celebration of victory. Now, if we celebrate just over some silly game, could you imagine what the celebration might have been over the conquering of death? The conquering received into heaven. This victory that had to have been going on in heaven. And the disciples, right, as this is going on to heaven, they're standing there gazing, and the angel comes. Did the angel pass Jesus? I think he knew Jesus was in heaven, right? Did he stay long enough to see Jesus in heaven? I got more questions about the Bible than I do answers sometimes. But this angel says, why are you standing here? This same Lord who has gone up is going to come back. And yet they were sad, but heaven is rejoicing. It's kind of interesting in Luke. There is three things. There's a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. And we can talk about the significance of those. But those are all found. But what I think is really important is that those have to do with who we are. I think the sheep is salvation. I think the coin is value or sanctification, the salvation of the soul, the life, if you will. And the prodigal son, I think, is talking about the kingdom and that kind of stuff. But what is important here is what happens when there is victory on earth, right? And it says there's joy in heaven when a sheep is found. Someone's saved, I think there's victory. When someone is being obedient, that value, that's what the coin represents, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God. And the prodigal son, the father said, it is meet that we should marry and throw a party, and there's all this stuff going on. Boy, if there is victory over, if we rejoice over one who repents, a sinner that repents, if that leads to rejoicing, what kind of rejoicing is there going to be over the one who has the victory over all sin? Think about what that must have been like. Now, I know Revelation 5 is future tense, right? And I think this is immediately after the rapture, and there is going to be celebration in heaven when we see the Lamb, who is Jesus, right? And there is going to be a new song, and they sung, "Thou art worthy and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." I think there was probably some kind of celebration like that going on when Jesus was received into heaven, and I'll show you a little bit more what I mean by that when we talk about Jesus as our high priest. So the first thing I want to talk about, he's ascended. And there are a lot of verses that talk about Jesus at the right hand of the throne of God. One of the things that it talks about is how that happens. Ephesians 1:20, it says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and set him. Now, who is the he? Which he wrought in Christ. Christ is Jesus Christ, right? So the he is God the Father. This is kind of important, so I want us to follow this thought through for just a second. Which he, God the Father, wrought in Christ. And that talks about the victory over sin. Which he has raised him, he, God the Father, raised him, Jesus Christ, from the dead. And set him at his right hand. Now, wait a minute. Jesus went, and we're going to look at a verse that Jesus literally set at the right hand. But this says that God the Father set him. Now, one of the things that talks about setting is, you know, I take something and I set it somewhere prominent. So this verse means to display. That's what it means, to set something. So God the Father set him, Jesus, on display. And where did he do it? At his right hand. It's kind of interesting, the word received there, we looked when he was received into heaven, means welcome. And then it says that God the Father set him or displayed him at his right hand. It's really an interesting word when we talk about that Jesus, it just didn't go over and set out. I mean, I think heaven, this is a production of what is going on when Jesus comes and sets down at the right hand of God. Hebrews 1:3, and upholding all things by the word of the power, when he had by himself purged our sin, set down at the right hand of God. So he sat down. So that was Jesus' physical action, the right hand of the majesty on high. But here there's a little different word. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross by his name, and is set down. That word there is back to that display word. So he set, but is displayed at the right hand of the throne of God, who's gone into heaven and is on the right hand. Angels, authorities, powers being made subject. So when Jesus sat down, everyone's paying attention to the throne. So now I want to talk about what Jesus is doing in heaven, the present work of Jesus Christ. Now, at the end of this sermon, I had three things I was going to talk about, but I'm just going to mention them this morning because I know that I'm not going to have time, and I really want to focus on the work of Jesus Christ as the high priest. If you go to John 14, 1 through 3 especially, it says Jesus is preparing a place for his bride. I think that's the church that's going to be rewarded, the faithful out of the church. So he's preparing a place. That's one of the things he's doing in heaven. The other thing Jesus is doing from heaven, Acts 7, when Stephen died, we see Jesus sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. But when Stephen died and was being received into heaven, we see Jesus standing. And one of the things I think Jesus does is he receives saints, receives saved people home. And then the other thing we do, 1 Peter 3:17, the other thing we see is that Jesus is directing from heaven. He's directing the church. Jesus is the head of the church, right? He sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and Christ works hand in hand to lead the church. He's directing. There's other things. 1 Peter 3:22 talk about he directs. So those are some other things that Jesus does. But what I want to focus on this morning is Jesus at the right hand of God the Father, and the fact that he is our high priest, and what this means. There's really a lot that the Bible talks about this high priest, especially the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is almost all about Jesus, how he's qualified to be the high priest, how he became the high priest, what he's doing as our high priest. So we're going to read a lot of verses in Hebrews this morning. So let's talk about Jesus at the right hand of God, who is our high priest. Now, what did a high priest do? A high priest, there was one high priest, and he had the job of mediate, standing between God and the people. And he was supposed to offer a sacrifice, and then he was to go and sprinkle blood into the Holy of Holies on the mercy seat. And Hebrews tells us the mercy seat is a type of heaven itself. Between the cherubims, that is a representative of the throne of God. So Jesus being this high priest, not after Aaron, but after Melchizedek, not having a beginning, not having an end. There's a whole sermon in all that. But we're just going to talk about Jesus and his work as the high priest. For such a high priest, or or this is the kind of high priest that we have. For such a high priest became us. What does that mean? Became us. That doesn't make sense. Well, the word became means suitable for us. He's suitable. So we have a high priest that fits what we need. Now, have you ever went and bought something and you needed a part and you get home and it's the wrong part? It's not suitable. It's not for that part. So became us. If the part was right, it would become part. It would have fit. It would have been suitable. Jesus is the high priest that fit what we need, is suitable for what we needed. And what did we need? We needed a high priest that was holy. Now, the other high priest, Aaron, he wasn't holy. He was a sinner. He sinned just like you and I. We're all sinners. Jesus is a high priest that have never known sin. Here's the one I like. Harmless. Do you think Aaron ever misjudged something? Do you think Aaron ever harmed anybody? Maybe not intentionally, but sometimes I do harm. There's some verses in Isaiah I really like. It says Jesus will not hurt a burning flax or break a bruised reed. That's the prophecy. That is how tender Jesus is going to be. When I was growing up, there was a pond kind of by us, and it had these reeds, and reeds are kind of hollow in the middle. And if you bruise it, if you break it, just falls over, and you can never get that thing to heal. It'll never stand back up. One that has a bruise that's kind of got a wound on it, boy, it takes nothing to topple it over. And it says that Jesus would never push over. Never harm. He's harmless. A smoldering flax. So, you ever tried to start a fire with flint? I tried. Matches work much better for me. But I need 20 matches to get the silly thing going, right? And then it's still... So, this smoldering fire, it's easy to quench, right? And it says there in Isaiah that the Messiah will be so gentle that he won't quench that. He's harmless. I like that about our Jesus. That our high priest, holy, yes, harmless. He seeks our good. He will not hurt those that are already. Jesus came to help the brokenhearted. There's a verse in Isaiah. I think it's, I'm not sure, it's somewhere around 60. Chapter 60 talks about how that to heal the brokenhearted and all those things that Jesus has come to do. He's undefiled. He's separated from sinners. Not that he won't commune with us. Jesus ate with sinners. That was one of the things. But separated in that he is not a sinner. He is different, separated than you and I. You know, there's one thing that all of us in this room have in common. You know, we all look different, we all act different, we all have different heritages, but there's one thing that's the same. We are all sinners. We have all sinned. And Jesus is separated or different in that aspect. And he made higher, exalted higher than the heavens. Now of all the things which we have spoken, I like this verse, this is the sum. I'm gonna sum it up. He says, we have such a high priest who is set on the right hand throne of majesty. And then verse 3, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. One of the things that the high priest that had to do, one of the things they did was sacrifices. And they offered gifts, whether it be, you know, meal offerings or you know, like wheat and that kind of thing, or blood. Whereof it is necessity that this man, Jesus Christ, this high priest, have somewhat also to offer. I always love the way this is worded, somewhat. It makes it sound like he has something to offer. He has everything to offer, and the blood of Hebrews says that the blood of those goats and those sheep and those calves and bulls didn't accomplish anything, did it? But the blood of Jesus Christ somewhat to offer. He had everything to offer. So this high priest, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, Jesus is our high priest. And the one thing he had to offer was an acceptable sacrifice. For Christ has not entered into the holies made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, and to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, he's just not doing this just to be a trophy set on the shelf. You ever bought something you really wanted, and you know, you just set it, and there it is. It doesn't do any. You don't do anything. Well, Jesus has a function. God gave Jesus a job to do. He's in the presence of God for us, and one of those presents has to do with this sacrifice that was offered. This is one of the most unique verses that I think we don't grasp the significance of Jesus in heaven and what he did in heaven as he went to heaven. Look at what this verse says. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, talking about heaven itself, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves. So that's what the old high priest did here on earth. Now, what Jesus did was in heaven. But by his own blood he entered. Now, I don't fully understand the ramifications of this verse. If it was by his own blood, the fact it was sacrifice, or if he literally with his blood entered, I'm not sure. But to have access to the Holy of Holies, the mercy seat, the high priest had to have blood to go in and offer it before the throne. And that's what it said Jesus did before God when he ascended. By his own blood, he entered into heaven. He entered by his blood when he ascended into heaven. And God said, remember it said God set him at his right hand, and it said that Jesus set that word display. It's by his blood that that happened. I think that's an incredible thing that it describes there. And having obtained eternal life for us. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, and again, the sacrifice was presented to God on the mercy seat, and so Jesus presented his blood in heaven, set down at the right hand. So this sacrifice for sin, I know he sacrificed, it happened on the cross, but it appeared there's some presentation of the blood in heaven. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember what it said over here? That, but by his blood he entered. We get to enter by boldness by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's kind of interesting what we have there. Okay, so the high priest, Jesus, right hand of God the Father, he is our high priest. He offered an acceptable sacrifice. That's one of the things the high priest does, offers a sacrifice. The other thing a high priest does is he intercedes on our behalf with the Father. Now, there are three main words that it talks about the high priest and the interceding that Jesus does on our behalf. The words are advocate, intercede or intercession, and mediator. And I want to talk about those three words. John writes unto some of the disciples, and he says, my little children, these things I write unto you. A, number one, do not sin. That should be our goal. Don't sin. That is the process of sanctification. Not sinning, being obedient to God. How do we not sin? If we're totally obedient to God, we won't have time to sin. But it's interesting, he says, and if any man sin. Now, we're going to sin. We're going to mess up. So this instruction is important. But number one, try not to sin. Sometimes I don't think John is saying focus on not sinning, because when we think on something, it's like, okay, I'm on a diet. Don't eat food. Don't eat food. Don't eat food. What do you want? I want food. Well, I'm trying to be better. For me, the way I don't eat food, I exercise. I walk. I have a goal to walk 6 days, 60 minutes. But when I get hungry, I get up and walk. So there's some days I walk 2 or 3 hours a day because I try to get my mind, right? Get your mind off. And so, first of all, sin not. How do we not sin? If we focus on Jesus, if we focus on God, if we focus on the Word of God, if we focus on what we're supposed to be doing, we won't have to worry about what we shouldn't be doing. Does that make sense? So number one, sin not. Be obedient to God. But if you do sin, here he says, we have an advocate with the Father. And the word advocate means one who will plead the cause of another in the court of the law. Now, I don't think this is just, what's the word? A figure of speech. I think Jesus literally is our advocate. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, God the Father cannot look on sin. Jesus Christ became sin for us, offered the sacrifice for sin, paid all the debt for sin. So when we look at how this verse works, if any man sin, first don't sin, but if we sin, what do? We have an advocate. And we understand that the way we put Jesus to work as an advocate is we have to ask forgiveness. If we confess our sins, Lord, I sin. Lord, this is the sin. He is faithful, he is just, forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. Well, how does he do that? God the Father does the forgiving, but Jesus Christ the Son does the advocating. I literally believe, and I don't know what the process is, but somehow Jesus sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, when I pray, Jesus, forgive me of sin A, B, and C, and go all the way to Z probably, of these sins, Jesus literally advocates, turn to the Father. And remember, he entered into heaven through the blood. We have boldness to enter into heaven through the blood. I believe he literally threw the blood, and I don't know how that works, but he turns to God the Father, advocates, and says, Father, here is the blood to cover, right? That's what they had to do in the Old Testament. The high priest would confess upon the animal they were going to slay, sacrifice, so the blood would cover their sins. Jesus advocates, we confess, he turns to the Father to advocate. The second thing our high priest does is he intercedes on our behalf. One who represents, one who intercedes before another on one's behalf. Now, what's the difference in advocating and interceding? I don't know. They're different words. I think that when I confess a sin, I think he advocates. I think he also intercedes on my behalf. But it's interesting that the work is a little different as described. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to maketh intercession. That is what he lives for, to advocate, to intercede. For such a high priest becomes us, right? We looked at that verse and what he is. Romans 8:34, Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died? Yea, rather, that risen from the dead. Why are we condemned? Because we believe not, right? That's what John 3, verse 18, verse 36 says. Who is even at the right hand of God? Jesus Christ is the right hand of God. Who maketh intercession for us? I think the process of being an advocate and the process of being an intercessor are a lot of the same thing. Therefore, Isaiah, therefore will I, God the Father, divide him, Jesus Christ, a portion with the great, because he, Jesus Christ, bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgression. That's Isaiah 53 talking about Jesus being our sacrifice for us, and this is what God is going to do. He will see the travail of his soul, and then he will make him bear our sins, intercede for our transgressions. The third word, so we've talked about advocate, we talked about interceding, and the third word is to mediate. And mediate, this one is a little different. I think Jesus mediates when he advocates and when he intercedes. This is a necessary role that that all advocates can do, and not in all people who intercede can do. It's literally a middleman, is one who stands between, and with the goal to reconcile. Now, I have played mediator to some people sometimes, and dealing people come and say, "Brother Harlan, we got a problem. Can you counsel us?" Well, what I end up doing often is mediating. And to do that, I have to understand both sides. In order to reconcile, they both need to be heard. It's interesting. They talk to each other, and like they just can't get anywhere. And I tell them, "Talk to me." And they'll turn and talk. No, talk to me. And I'll say something. They're like, "Oh, yeah." And the person will say, "That's what I just said." But they can't hear because they're at odds with one another. They're not mad at me, so they can hear it from me. Now, I'm a sinner. Could you imagine how great it would be who somebody who has no fault, who could stand in the middle? Let's look at the mediation verse first. "For there is one God and one mediator between," right? That's what he does. Stands between God and man. There is a discussion between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. In Job, I think it's chapter 38, somewhere towards the end of Job, there is a discussion that Job and God has. And God asks Job three questions. And one of them is, "Where were you when I?" And created some animals and created the world, and Job is like, "Well, it wasn't here." You know, that's one thing. And there is a place where it says that God asked Job a question, and Job tried to answer, and he was unable to. I don't understand. There's things in the Bible I don't even understand. I mean, I read it and it's like, well, God's going to have to explain that when I get there. Now, there's lots of things in the Bible that's easy to understand. But there are some things that are just, "Thank you for showing how great your glory is, because you haven't given me enough information." And so God and Job has this conversation, and Job says, "I answered once and I answered twice." And then God asked him a third question, and Job says, "Look, I didn't even try to answer the third time because God and I were so far apart." And this is Job's answer. "Neither is there a daysman betwixt us that he may lay his hands upon both." Here's the thing about Jesus Christ being the mediator between God and man. Jesus said unto his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Elijah, John the Baptist, they had other answers. "Who do you say?" Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. He is God. Now, I know God is three persons. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But there is one God. And I don't, that's one thing I don't understand. How three can be three independent, and yet there is one. God the Father is God the Son. God the Son is the Holy Spirit. You can go on, and yet they are different. And I don't understand that. But I'm thankful that they have three persons and are different in this sense, that Jesus is God. Philippians 2 tells us that in being God, he did not take anything from God being equal to God, and he didn't take anything from God being man. That's what Philippians, the second chapter, tells us. Here's the thing. Do you think Jesus and God can have a conversation? They were in perfect harmony. The only time that Jesus and God ever had, not a disagreement, but something between them was because of us. Think about that. When Jesus was on the cross, there's total darkness. Now that doesn't really mean much, but there is going to be a place where Isaiah 53 tells us where God cannot look upon Jesus bearing our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says he bore our sins on the cross. That from 12 to 3, there's total darkness, and Jesus cries out, my God, there is a division. Why hast thou forsaken me? That's the only time there was ever. There was perfect harmony. Jesus and God never, they were always in communion. Here's the thing. Jesus being God, if I go to the Son before he came and became a man and said, hey, understand me, he couldn't have because he was God. But now that Jesus is human, Jesus has felt what I felt. And that's one of the things we're going to look at, is we have a high priest that gets us, that understands us, tempted like as we are. Jesus, you ever been tired? You ever been so tired the thing you need to do, you just can't do? Jesus got tired, and he got so tired, he left people. Jesus was a people person. He was here to help people, and yet he got tired. Have you ever got annoyed or frustrated and just go, there's verses in the Bible. I think there's four places where it says Jesus sighed. That is a human thing. Sometimes we have grandkids living with us. I've done more sighing in the last year than I've done since we had kids at home, because you want to be patient, right? And sometimes the best thing to do is just take a breath. And Jeffrey the other day, I did that. He says, is your asthma bothering you, Grandpa? I'm like, not my asthma today, grandson. But it's kind of interesting, that sigh, right? It's a human thing. Jesus, he did that. I wonder why he was frustrated. You ever cried? There's no verse that talks about God crying, but you know Jesus cried? Mary and Martha, their brother had died, and Jesus comes back, and they're crying, and Jesus saw them, and he had compassion, and he cried. Such a human thing. Jesus is like us. He is like God. And when I go to Jesus and say, Jesus, this thing happened in my life that was difficult. Jesus knows what difficulty is, doesn't he? The garden, was that difficult? Facing death, was that difficult? Now, he did it without sin, so he understands me. And when he turns to God and he says, I understand what he went through, but he can also turn to God and say, I understand your ultimate need for not sin, not fellowshipping or having contact with sin. But here's the thing: I can stand. Jesus says in the middle. Therefore, there is nobody stand, and that's what the mediator does, stands between us and God. He mediates, he advocates, he intercedes on our behalf, and he does that by his blood. The next thing I want to touch on, Jesus at the right hand of the throne of God, high priest, had a sacrifice, he mediates, intercedes, advocates on our behalf, because we have a high priest who gets us. I've already talked about this, but I'll touch on this verse. For this is the double negative. I'm not going to talk about the knots. For we have a high priest which can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He gets us. He was human. And because he gets us, what should we do? Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace. Jesus wants to turn to the Father and say, and advocate, and mediate, and turn to the Father so that we can find grace when we are in trouble and obtain mercy. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness. We read this verse earlier, but I think it's important. And how do we do it? By the blood. As Jesus entered, that victory symbol was the blood. We do it the same way. So wrapping it up, our high priest, the fact that he has offered this ultimate sacrifice, the fact that he mediates, that he intercedes and he advocates, and the fact that he gets us, that should motivate us to hold fast to our profession and to come before the throne of grace. Seeing then that we have this great high priest, we've talked about all the things this great high priest has done, and has passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hebrews 10:21 and 23. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. He is faithful that promised. In closing, if the pianist and song leader will come forward, Colossians 3:1. This is an interesting verse, talking about who Jesus is, and when we understand that, we should seek godly things. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. I apologize, I have an alarm going off. Set your affections. I'm done. Time to be done. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Seek those things that are above. Set your affection. Why? Because we have such a high priest. Sometimes we don't talk about it enough. Do you appreciate what Jesus is doing on your behalf? That blood that he had so he could enter, so we can enter with boldness, so he can advocate, mediate, intercede on our behalf, because he gets us. He knows what it's like to be human, to be frail, to be tired. He gets us. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. What page you got for us? Let's all stand.